If I'm simulating a class, and we would review our verses that we've been learning. I know most of you know them all by heart now, but turn back to this scripture page, please. We did man is sinful, sin has a penalty, Christ paid the penalty, and salvation is a free gift. Now we're going to get Christ is at the door, but let's begin with the beginning. I like to drill them in, okay? Let's start with man is sinful. Man is sinful, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, sin has a penalty, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23, Christ paid the penalty, Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. You know, if you've done these in the King James, sometimes you have to think a little bit. more good news. Salvation, the free gift, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Now we come to the last two. Christ is at the door. And I think that possibly one of these days we might change that to John 10:9. You know, it says, Jesus said, I am the door. If any man enter by me, he shall be saved. Right? You know, we went to Australia several years ago, and they made us take Revelation 3:20 out of our deal. They said that scripture is for the church. If you read in the context, they want the church to be revived. So they fiddled around a lot of ways. We spent about 2 hours trying to figure out what they want to do over there. But then the bishop of the crusade, Jack Dane, said, "Wait a minute." He said, "You know, my daughter was converted by using Revelation 3:20." So he kind of changed the picture for her. He was a chairman of the crusade. God always has someone in place, doesn't he? Like Gamaliel, you know, don't wipe these guys out, you know. Two other people, you know, took a little band at them. You don't hear them anymore. He said, if this be of God, you know, we'll fight. We don't want to fight against it. You know, we don't want to fight against God. Okay, Christ at the door, all right? Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Revelation 3:20. Then John 1:12. We must receive him. Yet to all who received him, to them who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. John 1:12. Billy Graham has always ended every message. You must receive him. Okay. Now I've got turn to page 31 for the homework. That's the homework for the third lesson, I hope. See if it is. And it's a good lesson on salvation, so I encourage them to do it, especially if they're going to fill out their application. And I tell them that the third, fourth, and fifth questions there have to do with the same questions asked on the application form. What is our basic spiritual problem? This is on page 31. What was God's remedy? And how must man respond? Those are the same ones they're going to answer if they use an application that we will be using. Well, I don't know what your plan is to get your counselor. What do you do? What have you been doing? Application? Then I turn the page and encourage them to look at number 7 in his witness to the woman of Samaria to Nicodemus. Jesus varied his approach. How was it different? And I'd say, don't say, well, in one case he talked to a woman and another to a man. That's not the answer. Let's see if we can get an answer for it. And then in Acts 8:25-39, analyze the incident of Philip sharing Christ. What practical lessons in witnessing can you learn? List at least 3. And make them think a little bit, and that's what we want them to do, begin to think about the scriptures and how they apply to the life. Now, my SBO for this one is to make personal relationship with Jesus Christ so real that no one can miss it. No one can miss it. We will have in our classes, sometimes class of 500, I'll have as many as 5 to 10 people. Well, you're going to know, and we'll show you this afternoon in our little book that we're going to give you, where we fill out the counselor decision card. We have them marked if they made a decision. And I'll sometimes have 5 to 10 people who say that during the training they accepted Christ as personal Savior. And many who get biblical assurance, and a pile of them who rededicate their life. Well, this lesson here is the one that deals largely with the salvation and assurance. And so we're going to cover a lot of ground that deals with both of these subjects. And let's pray again now. Bow your head with me and ask God quietly to fill this great hall with His presence. Ask God to make the lesson come to life. Ask God to make the cross and salvation and personal relationship so real to us and that we can share it very simply with others. Father, we pray that you will take the lesson at this point now and use it in our lives and help us, Father, to get a good grasp of the tools, a grip on them, that we might share with others and teach others how to use them. And help fulfill the Great Commission. I'm going to read through it with you, and I'm going to have you read with me to hear your own word, your own voice, and so on. And you can pause at moments. I remember times when I've used this with international students. Tom, I was assigned a couple people in Nashville and took them to church and then brought them to my home for lunch and went over the steps with them. And the one particular fellow was from Caracas, Venezuela. And I couldn't get him to sign on a dotted line, but I gave him a Gospel of John, and I said, you read this, and every time you see the word believe or receive or trust in, circle it. And I've had people that I've committed the Gospel to that said, one guy said, I went all the way through to John 14, doubting Thomas, where I finally got the picture. And but it's got everything that's necessary to make the decision. Now, I call it a skeleton a lot of times, which you put the meat on it. Now, look at the inside cover, if you will, and we're going to read it together, beginning with God's purpose. God's purpose, peace and life. God loves you and wants you to experience peace and life, abundant and eternal. Then I always like, as Tom said, I like to, every chance I get to personalize things as we're doing it and make it personal. No, so we'll look at the next verse. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Circle peace with God. And underline through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have peace with God this morning, it's through Jesus Christ. Is that right? Read the next verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Put your first name over the word world. God so loved John, Bill, whatever, Charlie, that He gave His only begotten Son, and if Bill believes in Him, Bill should not perish, but Bill should have everlasting. Personalize it. I had a pastor come and tell me one time, that's how he came into a personal relationship to Christ, personalizing John 3:16. Read the last verse. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Cross the page. Since God planned for us to have peace and the abundant life right now, why are most people not having this experience? Turn the page. Our problem is separation. Now, I want you to notice something. You see the little picture here, step one. There's a gap in the mountain. Nothing in it. Turn the page, and you notice a little bit of sunshine is coming in there. And I like to think that the one that put this together may be talking about the sun, because you get a full picture of the sun by the time we get through to the last step. Our problem, read with, our problem, separation. God created us in His own image to have an abundant life. He did not make us as robots to automatically love and obey Him, but gave us a will and a freedom of choice. And you could read that and with someone and you want to circle and emphasize maybe will or freedom of choice or whatever, and didn't make us as robots where He press a button and we'd all bow down. But we have a choice. Read the next. We chose to disobey God and go our own willful way. We still make this choice today. This results in separation from God. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you know, sometime you might stop here and circle the word gift right now. Circle gift. And you might ask the person you're reading this with, have you ever received the gift of God? This is what Kennedy and his how many of you know the Kennedy program? That's one of their key witnessing verses. Have you ever received the gift of God? What is it? Well, underline eternal life. Wow, how do I get that? Well, it's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I'm sure that it doesn't work that simply, but I ask every time I have a class, how many of you have had the EE program? Hands go up. Does this verse work? You bet it does. Is that right? I see a guy going waving to me over there. Well, at least, you know, someone said a Moody, he sometimes had a hard time with diction and everything, and he was teaching a class on personal work one time, and guy afterwards said, I don't like your method of personal work. And Moody said, well, tell me yours. The man said, well, I don't have one. He said, well, I like mine better. You know, we can criticize a lot of things, but what are we doing? You know, that's the question, right? Okay, cross the page. Our choice results in separation from God. And there you have the graphic. Turn the page. You get a little bit more of the sun now in the upper left-hand corner. Our attempts through the ages, individuals have tried in many ways to bridge this gap without success. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Across the page you have now the man there and some bridges. The man is religious, and he's tried many bridges to get back to God. Woodworks, religion, philosophy, morality. You know, religion is not a bad word. It's a system of worship. It could be ritualistic or it could be real. And many people, it is very ritualistic. I think the question ought to be, where does it lead you? To idolatry? Or does it lead you to the cross, to a personal relationship to God through Jesus Christ? That's the answer to it. Your religion, where does it lead? All right, there's only one remedy for this problem of separation. Turn the page. Get a little bit more of the sun coming up there now. God's remedy, the cross. Jesus Christ is the answer to this problem. He died on the cross and rose from the grave, paying the penalty for our sin and bridging the gap between God and man. A lot of words and phrases you could stop and amplify and explain a little bit more to an individual. The Bible says, God is on one side and all the people on the other side, and Christ Jesus himself, man, is between them to bring them together. That's the living version. The King James says, there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for us all. And so Jesus Christ is the answer, the cross, the bridge. Read the next verse. For Christ also has suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Cross the page now. God has provided the only way. We must make the choice. Now we have the cross in place. And we turn the page. Our response, and now we have a full view of the sun, if you'll notice in the upper left-hand graphic. We must trust Jesus Christ and receive him by personal invitation. This is one of the older versions, I guess, the King James. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. And here's where I'd stop. It says, anyone. Friends, that could be anyone here tonight. You may be in church. You may know a lot about Jesus, but do you know him personally? He's knocking at your heart's door by right now saying something out of the Scripture to you. It says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in. An invitation. And dine with him and he with me. Then I say, now look at this next verse. Read it with me. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Received him. And I like to ask, have you received him? Have you received him personally into your own heart? Can you make the confession now in this last verse? Read it with me. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a confession, right? Cross the page. Are you here or here? And there you have the cross. Now, here's some good questions if you want to write them down if you stop on this page. In Luke 10:20, Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. But nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, but rather rejoice because your names are written where? In heaven. Your names are written in heaven. Is your name written in heaven this morning? Is it? And then, Revelation 20, verse 15, is it in the book of life. The books are going to be opened one day, and whosoever's name is not found written in the book, you know what's going to happen. Very clearly, don't you? No pussyfooting around. You're going to be cast into the lake of fire. You like that, didn't you? He waves a flag. Every time I say something back here. Okay. Those are two good questions. And then the Kennedy questions, and I like them because it makes people think. Number one, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? You can hear it all the time. Well, I'd like to think so, hope so. Now let me ask you one more. If you were to stand before God and he should say, why should I accept you in my heaven? What would you say? And I'm telling you, they'll tell you, well, I'm a good churchman, I try to be a good family man, do unto what? You'll hear all kinds of things. Tom, I don't remember if you remember the Albuquerque Crusade. I counseled 7 people in that crusade down in that stadium there, dome. And most of them had put, they were in the family, they checked acceptance. And after you get to questioning him a little bit, if you were to stand before God, well, they give you the, well, I try to be a good family man. Well, has there ever been a time in your life when Jesus Christ became personal? You actually accepted him, you trusted him, you had the witness of the Spirit within you, then Jesus was in your heart. Romans 8:16. And if a person's honest, many times, well, not really. Wouldn't you like to make that commitment tonight and ask him to come into your life? And so, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? Why should God accept you? Makes them think anyway. Now, I'm not saying because he couldn't articulate it clearly that I'd go to heaven, that they're not, you know, name is not in the book or whatever. But I tell you, if people are in a spiritual fog, they live in a spiritual fog and they don't know where they are, and they're always floating around. They're really not headed forward with their faith like Paul. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that I, and so on. We want people to come to a place where they know that they have eternal life, don't we? And get it settled, and then start moving out in the right direction. So, are you here or there? Put a mark down. Okay, gives them a chance to think. And then, turn the page. Is there any good reason why you cannot receive Christ right now? That's a good question, isn't it? I've had people say, well, no one ever asked me. And there may be a lot of people out there waiting for you to ask them that question. How to receive him? Admit your need. I am a sinner. Read with me. Be willing to turn from your sins. Repent. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and rose from the grave. Through prayer, invite Jesus Christ to come in here and control your life through the Holy Spirit. Receive Him as Lord and Savior. And across the page, you have the prayer that Billy Graham has led people in by the millions all over the world. And I think it was Gene that made this statement one time ago. For many, many years, I was about 12 to 15 inches from being a Christian. I knew about Him up here, but I never got Him down into my heart. I know in the Scriptures the heart and the mind are interchanged many times, but the illustration's a good one, I think. Billy Graham has said the simplest definition of a Christian is one in whose heart Christ dwells. How does He come into our heart? We invite Him in. Lord Jesus, come in. And so we pray and ask, read it with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and need Your forgiveness. I believe that You died for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I now invite You to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow You as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Place to put a name down if you like. Turn the page. Full view of the sun in the graphic in the upper left-hand page there. Read with me. God's assurance, His word. If you prayed this prayer, the Bible says, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Not might be, but will be. Did you sincerely ask Jesus Christ to come into your life? Where is He right now? Where is He? What is He giving? And you want to ask that question. Where is He? And you'd like to get a response. And I'd hope they'd say, well, He's in my life. He's in my heart. And keep working on it. And now, read this next verse. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. You can circle grace. You're saved by grace through faith. And I think when you have that circle of word faith, and where is your faith? Who do you place it in? And probably a lot of the time saying, God, who died for you on the cross and bore your sins? Jesus. And you're placing your faith in His work on the cross. And is that right? That's right. Now, put a little comma after 9. Well, then you circle faith, and then you circle gift of God, and then underline not by works. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're not saved by works. We're saved by faith. We demonstrate by the way that we live. Cross the page. The Bible says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things have been written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Circle the word know. That you may know. And then read that last statement. Receiving Christ, we're born into God's family through the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer. This is called regeneration or the new birth. And it's not saying yes to a lot of things. It's being born of God, born from above. That's God's work. We'd like to do everything that we can to get them to understand that it is a step of faith by where we're placing our faith and trust in Jesus and let God do the work. Turn the back, and then you come to the next steps are in the back of it. Read it with me. This is just the beginning of a wonderful new life in Christ. To deepen this relationship, you should read your Bible every day to know Christ better. Talk to God in prayer every day. Tell others about Christ. Worship, fellowship, and serve with other Christians in the church where Christ is preached. And as Christ's representative in a needy world, demonstrate your new life by your love and concern for us. So you have worship and fellowship together there, sir. Is that okay? All right. Now, we suggest to the people in the classes, you got a couple of these. Ask God to let you share them with some people the coming week or two. We're not going to force anyone, but ask God to open up a door for you and see if He doesn't give you a chance to share it. You might just say to someone, well, it's sort of a psychological approach. You know, I'm taking a course for whatever it is, and I've been asked to share this little booklet to get the reaction from one or two people. Would you mind if I shared it with you? You're not telling them, you know, I believe you're lost and I'd like you to get straightened out in your life. You're simply saying, I want to get your reaction. So take them through it. You get down, which side are you on? Well, that could be a good question, couldn't it? So whatever, however God leads you, but that's one of the ways of really getting the material, simple material into people's... And we have some fantastic stories in the next week or two of people. Oh, I shared your book. Oh, just wonderful opportunities. Releasing people to go out and share something that they haven't really known how to do for all their life, perhaps, and seeing God use it. Now, on page 25, let's stand up and just move, change your position for a moment. Page 25. I know we're just pouring a lot into you these days, one after another. It's not my favorite way of doing it, but the principles are good, and the book is okay. If you can get people to look in the book, this book with the material, the messages, and the lessons, and all the graphics and everything, then they have it to look in again and again and again, don't they? All right, you may be seated. Atop of page 25... So far, we've been stressing personal preparation for a close walk with God. Let us ask some questions. And I like to get an affirmative from my class with an amen or something like that, and I want the affirmative here. Do you have faith in the power and sovereignty of God today?
Amen.
Do you believe He can use you in spite of your own weakness and inadequacy?
Amen.
Do you believe that the Holy Spirit will guide you, make you courageous, help in your work, and also work effectively in the lives of those to whom you will speak?
Amen.
A little louder.
Amen.
Then I say, fill out the counselor application and become a counselor. And we're going to say the same to you. Then plan to get back into your areas and get people trained in their faith. Okay? All right. Now, about halfway down, first, your own life is a great part of your witness. And that's why we've been stressing the life. We're epistles written not by ink, but not on tablets of stone, but our lives. We're known and read of all men. We're living epistles known and read of others. That's 2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3. And we need to read clear for Jesus. Let our light shine, Matthew 5, 16. Second, earn the right to be heard by sincerely listening to others. Jesus was a friend of sinners and often sat with them. You know, many people don't have any really unsaved people or unchurched people. And we need to be friends of these people. And I'm going to read in the paragraph there. Instead of having only the consuming drive to press home a verbal witness, win the confidence of people by being interested in them. Let them tell you their concerns. Ask them, underline, what is your greatest need? And in psychology, I took a lot of psychology in college. He talked about catharsis, letting it all out. Let people share their burdens. Have a good shoulder to cry on. And you may win a friend, and you might say to them, you know, sometime I'd like to tell you about a friend of mine who could help you with that problem. My wife makes friends everywhere she goes. People love her, but I can get tangled up in things and I'll not take time, but she'll go the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth file with people. And she's always sharing with them. And we're sending books constantly different places, telephone calls. But people know when you're really sincere. One of the greatest things we can do is get acquainted with people. Friendship evangelism, right? Let them talk to you. So many people are hurting today. You won't have to go very far to find them either. Turn the page. I'd like to tell you about meet a friend of mine. All right. Top of the page. In witnessing, it's important to remember you are not presenting a formula. Cross it out. It's not an outline. Cross it out. It's not a systematic plan. Those can all be very cold and calculated. But rather the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Meet my friend. Believe in my friend. Trust in my friend. Receive my friend. He's the one who's done so much for me. It's not, do you believe that you're saved? That's not the way to get it done, is it? No, it's to really lead people to the place where they understand that Jesus is the answer and we must trust in Him. Fourth, stress the love of God, keep it simple, and so on. Now, across the page, you have the old Navigator, Bridge to Life. The Navs still using this, are they? They are? Okay. Now, let's say that, what happened to the pen that was up here? It got knocked off, did it ever get put back up again? The pen. You got to have a pen. There's a pen. Thank you. Got to have a pen. Say that John Repass and I, well, we got a handful of them here. Thanks, Tom. Boy, I got all kinds of colors. If Tom was up here, he'd have the rainbow up here. He'd have all kinds of colors. I can't do that. I'm not as versatile as he is. But say that John and I are friends and, you know, I dealt with him earlier about the why is my life still empty, but I don't know whether I got through to John, so I'm going to take him to a Promise Keepers meeting, and we'll let him hear some of these guys that can really put it on the line. We move away from the meeting and say, John, boy, what did you think of that? Wasn't that great? We get to talking about the approach, life after death. You believe in eternity? Where do you think you're going to spend it? Well, really, Charlie, I'm not going to give much thought to it. Well, let me share something that could be a help to you. You know, in counseling and in personal work, we run the same parallel tracks, but in personal work, you're responsible where you begin and how far you go. In counseling, like we'll be doing at the Promise Keepers, we take up where others have laid a lot of groundwork for us and did a lot of pre-counseling in many cases. But I like to think that they're parallel tracks. Now, I always like to ask my class, how many of you feel like you've got the gift of evangelism? Let me see your hands here this morning. Gift of evangelism. Way up. I don't see a dozen hands. These people have the gift. So we're off the hook, right? They have to do all evangelizing.
Amen.
Tom, you better get after this guy over here. He's one of your men. All right, now, let me see in the page here. Between the bridge and share the facts, put down, if you will, number one, put down planters like peanuts. 1 Peter 1:23, which says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. All of us can be planters, right? Then put down process. And that's 1 Corinthians 3:6-7. Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, and that's where it all is. We can plant, we can water, or we can get in on the increase where someone else has planted. John 4:35-36 has a beautiful illustration of that, I believe. We can be in on the somewhere in the process here. Planters or waterers, or maybe we can get in on bringing them to the knowledge of the Lord. But I'm talking to John now. John, let me share something that's been a real help to me. Under share the facts, put down Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, so on. And so Billy Graham shares the facts. Yeah, I hope your Promise Keepers are going to share them. I'm going to share them with John. God's plan, John, is peace and life. And when God breathed breath into man, John, he became an eternal being. And he's going to live, or Tom likes me to say, exist, one or the other, somewhere eternally. John, do you realize you're an eternal being? Someday, you ought to know where you're going to spend an eternity. So, not only that, John, but he wants us to have an abundant life. John 3:16, he wants us to share that life. And John 10:10b, I'm come that ye might have life and have it more abundantly. And I hope all of you guys and pray you're all enjoying an abundant life in Jesus Christ. Are you? Oh, we ought to be. Don, it's not that simple, though. We have a problem, and our problem is one of separation. Separation. Romans 6:23. And let me illustrate for you, John. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he made people, a man in his own image, and he didn't make them as robots, we read earlier, but he gave them a choice, the freedom of choice and the will. A man decided one day to go his own way, and the Bible calls that sin. And ever since that day, man has been separated from God. And here's the biblical picture. Romans 5:12. Paul says, wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon how many men? All men, for all have sinned. I have three children. My wife and I were Christians, but our children were all born over here. Why? They got our sinful nature. Where did we get it? From our parents. Where did they get theirs? Their parents, right back to Adam. And here's where it happened in the Bible. Genesis 16 and 17. God put man in the garden. Eve said, you can have a free run of the garden. You can eat everything, but don't touch the fruit on one tree. The day you do, you die. Well, you know what happens when you tell people they can't do something? Genesis 3:5-6. Along comes the serpent. Said, you won't surely die. You'll become like gods. And Eve took of the fruit, gave to her husband with her. And this happened biblically years ago, and there's been a separation. Man, being very religious, has tried to get back to God in different ways. Just put a couple of strokes out there. But God has the remedy. Let's write it in there. God's remedy, the cross. Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love for us in this and so on. Let's sketch the cross in there now. And you notice the cross blots out our sin. John 3:16, if you like, in the middle there. And so John, Jesus Christ, became the answer to our problem of separation by giving his life on the cross. Our response, John, is to receive him. Let's put down, receive Christ. John 1:12. And what I like to do, and I've done this many times, I put a line up and down, and I say, all mankind stands on one side or the other. Where are you, John? And I hand them the pen. I've had people put a mark as close to here as the line, but on the wrong side. And Billy Graham always gives him an invitation. Let's put it up there. He always starts out with Acts 3:19, the word repent, repent. Acts 3:19, repent and be converted that your sins might be blotted out. And then he always brings in, you must receive Christ and follow him in obedience in the fellowship of his church. So Dr. Graham gives the invitation. If I'm talking to John, John, you want Christ in your life? Cross the bridge into God's family of faith. You're willing to turn from your sin and open your life to Jesus Christ. And this is what happens in our crusades. And I know that you're going to have it in your rally. Someone's going to give a message. And they're going to invite people forward. We have counselors seated strategically all around at the aisles where they can quickly get down. We have supervisors with material to hand in to the counselor as he follows a person down on the field. And they're all standing down in front of the platform here. And we have what we call supervisors to go out and plant themselves in the crowd at the front, having extra materials and a supervisor badge. They're the more mature Christian leaders. And Billy Graham in our crusades will say coming forward doesn't save you. It's an indication that you want Christ in your life. If you're willing to pray this prayer, follow me. And he leads them in the penitent prayer. And then he gives them four rules for the road, which we will give you this afternoon. Read your Bible every day. Pray every day. Get into a good church where Christ is preached. And be a good witness for Jesus Christ. And then he'll say, standing next to you is a counselor. They're here to help you. And Cliff Burrows will get up and say, we're going to have the benediction. And if you don't have a counselor standing beside you with a little badge, raise your hand. The benediction, and Cliff again say, if you don't have a counselor, raise your hand. And hands go up everywhere because we do not get everyone paired coming forward. They come so fast many times. And we ask all the counselors, come on down to the field then if they're not already paired, and watch for hands. We use a card that the supervisor holds over his head, a blue card. A man is needed. A man is needed here, and waves that around. And counselors, if they're standing around, know where to get into the crowd. I know it's a little more difficult if you don't have counselors for everyone, and that's some of the things you have to work out in your meetings here. But we like to have people talk to and prayed with and then explain literature to them so they understand thoroughly what's happening to them. So Billy Graham calls them forward. And now we want to find out where they are. What do they understand about salvation and a relationship to Christ? And we put down 1 John 5, 12 and 13. He that hath the Son hath life. And so, this is where the counseling begins at this point. And we want you to stand again, if you will, and just stretch your legs a bit. And I have about, by my clock, about 20 minutes here to go. Is that right? I had a little overtime this morning, right?
Yes,
sir. I'm off at 11, 10, what? No, 11:35. Oh, we're going to losing half our audience here. Where are they going there? Oh, boy. What kind of a break is that, huh? They didn't go before, did they? Stretch a little bit. Yeah, I need a little of that. Okay, let's come back to order. Ho! About hey! Rev Art. I was an old Army sergeant, a drill sergeant, so I know how to call out the commands anyway. Some of these guys need to see the urologist, I think, don't they? He's sitting back here. Right back there. I went in to see him about a year ago, and he ran a sonogram on my tummy to see how much was in there, and then I had to go and get rid of it, and then he ran it again to see how much I got rid of. But boy, I tell you what, Chip, that young lady that ran it on there, I had to pray like mad. She was running up and down. Rub it out. Scrub it out the tape here. It's for the hell of it. She had to do it twice. Huh? The Lord help me. What? Okay. I've got 15 minutes. And then I'm away from here. But the commitment folder is in the Living in Christ. That's the way we give it out on the field, and I'm sure they did the same in your meetings last time. No, they didn't have this at Pentecost, I don't think. Somehow 5,000 came to the Lord. And we're not saying, you know, the only way you can counsel someone is with a commitment folder. Not that at all. But I tell you this, Billy Graham always tells the people today, we're giving you a little leaflet that helps you to see more clearly the decision that you're making. So he tells them they're going to get it. So now I'm not sure your people will tell them that, but people in our crusade would ask, Mr. Graham said there's a folder. Where is it? No, they get it. And I like to say this too. that you're not starting from scratch. If you've got a man up there giving a good, clear presentation of the gospel, they've heard it for 40 minutes. They've been invited forward to make a commitment. They prayed, and so hopefully most of these people have been pre-counseled already. They have a little idea what's going on there. Maybe not all of them. And so you're not starting from scratch. What you want to find out is, where are you? At least try to find that out. And that's where we're using this. We had a little boy in Atlanta, Georgia, one time, about a 16, 17-year-old counselor, and he asked the boy, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? And the boy looked at him, Cleveland, Ohio, he said. That's where he lived. So his body goes back to Cleveland. We've had people come forward when you ask what to see. Where'd you come from? I came to get a better look at Billy Graham. Take a picture of Billy Graham. So we would like to really get down to business with him. And here's how you do it. Let me get my folder up here. I'm paired off with John. I just have not been able to get John across the line yet. So I introduce myself to John, and I get his name, John Repass. I write his name right up in the upper corner because I want to use his name over and over again. Say, John, I don't know if they're going to say, but Billy Graham always says, tonight a counselor is going to stand beside you wearing a little badge. They're here to help you. John, I pray that God will answer your questions before you leave this stadium tonight. And would you mind checking the box that best indicates the action that you're taking? I give it to him, and I'm praying while he's looking. And John checks. Number one, tonight, just personally, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Circle Lord and Savior. And I'd say to John, now, John, this isn't an easy trip from the stands down in the field, and it's all sealed and delivered. If you mean business tonight, you are accepting Jesus Christ in your heart and life as your Lord and Savior and Master. And get it back in there. And John, in just a few minutes, I'm going to show you some things that you're going to be required, accountable for, not just a prayer. You're starting a brand new life with Jesus Christ, to live, love Him and obey Him, getting into the church and getting into the Bible and learning to pray and sharing your faith with others. And so I try to make that clear. In our crusades, about 45% are doing that. I don't know about yours, being the emphasis not quite on evangelism like ours is, but a number of people are doing that, making their first commitment. You notice on the card it says pages 6 and 2. So turn to page 6. And I would use the information on page 6 to further clarify the action that John is taking to help him see a little bit more what's involved in the commitment. And if he didn't do anything else, you could use the red outline, recognize God's plan, realize our problem, respond to God's remedy, and receive Christ as Savior. Or you can add the verse. John, tonight, the preacher was talking about Jesus Christ and how He died for the sins of the whole world that we might know forgiveness and everlasting life. And you could read John 3:16 with John and emphasize certain words in John 3:16. But John, it's not automatic. Notice the next. Number two, realize our problem is one of what? Separation. And you see the separation between God and man, and go into the fact, read, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And whenever you can, wherever you can, use your own testimony about your own life. I know when I grew up, I knew a lot about Jesus, but didn't know Him. And we had revival meetings in our church, and I don't know how many times I went forward, and I went away from the altar crying. You take a pig out of the muck and give him a bath and put a ribbon on him, and he looks better, and put a little Chanel, if you like, on him. Smells better. But where does he go when you release him? Right back again. And I think that's what happens with a lot of people. They do make they go forward, but nothing really happens. Billy Graham has often said there are three little men in a decision. The little man of emotion. You know, you can cry a bucket full of tears and not be saved. Is that right? There's the little man of intellect, and that's the one that gets you into trouble. You got to study all the religions. And then you got the third little man of the will that must be bent to say, John, I know I'm a sinner and I receive Christ. You cross the bridge, but we are separated from God. But thank God for the remedy. Number three, respond to God's remedy, the cross. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. And so Jesus Christ, John, went to the cross to bear your sins in his own body. He did it 2,000 years ago. And now he wants you tonight to receive him and make him your own personal Savior. And that's the last point. Receive Christ, God's Son, Lord and Savior. And there you have, yet to all who received him. And so you're just explaining the facts, scripturally and otherwise, using the graphics over here to demonstrate a little bit. And John, do they give the invitation straightforward in the Promise Keepers? John, you've responded to the invitation. Repent, turn from your sins, and by faith receive Jesus Christ into your heart and life, and you've been willing to follow him in obedience. I don't know if they're going to say the same thing, but that's in a sense what you're doing. Now read the prayer of commitment with me, if you will. Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I believe you died for my sins. Right now I turn from my sins and open the door of my heart and life. I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you now for saving me. And I would pray that whoever gives your invitation gives them an opportunity to pray. Do they? To ask Christ to come into their life? And the first thing I'd want to know to John, did you pray with the man on the platform? You might want to write that down there, because you may want to ask the same question. Did you pray with the evangelist? Write that right after a prayer of commitment on the bottom. Did you pray with him? I want to know, John, did you pray with him? Did you ask Christ to come into your life? And I might want to ask him, where is he right now? And I would hope he would be able to say, well, he's in my heart. He may be a little foggy yet. And you may have to, John, maybe you didn't understand this, but you want Jesus Christ in your heart tonight. You want him to be your Savior, you know, forgive. Well, if you didn't understand before, I want you to pray with me right now, and I would lead him in prayer. Then it says, turn to page 2. So we turn to page 2, and I'm going to lead John through this little study on page 2, and I'm going to let him help me fill out the answers, because it's the ear gate and the eye gate. There you have, John, when you prayed with the evangelist, committing your life to Christ, what happened? Jesus said, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. What did Jesus say he would do if you asked him to come in, John? I what? Will come in. Write it down right now, just like you do, and get your people to do this with the people they're helping. I will come in. You see where it is on the line, top page 2? Jesus said he would do what if you ask him? I will what? Come in. Write it down, just like you're going to do with the event. Write it down. I will come in. Because what you're doing, you're helping the inquirer there to see it in written terms in the scriptural. I will come in. He said I would come in, right? Now, the next verse, where is he right now? And what should John be able to say? He's in my heart. So you want to get a response from the person. And if they're still in the fog, say, well, did you ask him to come in? Yes. What did he say he would do? I will come in. Well, drive it home. Make it clear to them. Best you can. Now, John, something else wonderful happened. And read it with me. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. What happened, John, when you received him? I became a what? Child of God. Who said so? God said so in a book, right? John, you are now in God's eternal family if you meant business. Now, something else happened. Read it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now that you believe in Jesus Christ, what can you be certain of, John? I have eternal life. And John, on the bottom of the page, how do you know you're saved, you're a child of God, you have eternal life? I know because God said it, I believe it, and that's it. You're taking God at his word. This is the anchor for your faith. And then I'm going to take this little booklet after I pray with John, and I'm going to introduce the first bottle of milk to him with lots of Bible study, scripture memory verses, devotional pages in it to help him get started on the right pathway. John doesn't check one. He checks 2A. I have accepted Christ, but I'm not sure. Out here, I want you to write the word when. These are Kennedy's questions again. When did you receive him? And I would like John to tell me when he received him. And I would trust that if John has any understanding at all about a commitment, that he could give me at least an intelligent response to that. And if I feel that he somehow, I don't have a Geiger counter, spiritual Geiger counter, get so many beeps as it is, he's right at all. But if he sounds a reliable testimony, then I say, well, John, let's turn to page 3. And we look at page 3, and we work our way down page 3, how to be sure that Christ has forgiven my sin and so on. And it's a good little study. And again, we're not going to do it now, but I have the people in the class fill this out after the class. I have them sit for a moment and go down through this. The ones that are going to be counselors, they need to know how to use this. And again, I always say, use your own testimony and let God speak through your own testimony too. And then, John doesn't check 2A, checks 2B. I have received Christ, but I've failed him. Again, I would put a little when out here. When did you receive him, John? And I'd get a testimony again from John. And hopefully it would be clear witness that he knows Jesus. And if he's a little foggy, I might use those 2 questions of Kennedy. John, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Why should God accept you in heaven? I want to make sure that if John is a little foggy, I want to make sure that he understands. And I may have to counsel him otherwise, to lead him to Christ. But he has, in fact, he really does know where he is. So where do we turn to page what? 4. And notice page 4 here. This morning, the second class, we gave you a good lesson on walking God's pathway. And I would take John down through that page. What must we do to be forgiven? What does God say we'll do if we confess? And fill the page out and again with my own testimony. I'd give him a chance to pray, to ask God, confess his sin, and then I'd take this book out and say, John, these are going to help you now. John doesn't check A, B, he checks 3. I have received Christ. I want to demonstrate my faith in him. And say, when did you receive him, John? And he gives me a beautiful testimony, but never came forward anywhere, and he's challenged, go down and say, I want to take a stand. And I say to John, well, praise God, John. I still want to give you this booklet because I'm sure you'll find a lot of help in it. I'll explain the book to him and still get a commitment. He doesn't check any one of these. We have about 5% who do these right here. Right here. I want to talk about, I want to demonstrate my faith. Others, I want to talk about a special need I have. And if John tells me that, I'm going to ask him again. Tell me, John, when did you receive him? And I want to be sure that John is trusting in the Lord. You can hear almost anything. Well, I've got an alcoholic mate, or I've got a son on drugs, and oh, it's just tearing me to pieces. And so we're going to do everything we can to help. Now, in our crusades, we have what we call supervisors, and I would hope you get enough people trained so you can have supervisors who maybe are just a step above the average counselor. They could be there for as supervisors if there's any problems. The counselor raises his hand, and a supervisor comes over. And if I can't help John, in fact, in our crusades now, we have specialists down at the platform. Any problem you have in the city, drugs, family problems, whatever, homosexual, we have them down at the front, specialists. And you may be able to get some of these people to help you, so you could have a little wider range of counseling in your meetings too. And so this is basically the plan we use. This last one here, an inquiry, there's a page in there that tells you what to do. I just want to know more about Jesus. What I would do, I'd simply go over the back page 6 with them. and go down through that with him, and then it tells you to turn to page 5. But my time is up, and Dr. Phillips is going to come up here. I caught him a little off guard. He thought I wasn't quite through. He thought I was still going to go on for a while. Tom, come up, okay? All right.
All right, thanks. Have a seat. Couple of quickies. We were just telling about the qualifications in the last session where counselors need to know Christ and read. And, of course, the reason we say that is to encourage them so they won't feel discouraged if they don't feel they're adequate and have a lot of training and experience. You've got to start somewhere. But one of the things that does happen in every crusade, or I'm sure Promise Keepers, is people come up who can't read. Now, every counselor needs to know how to read, because we got the tools here to help us. But what do you do if you get a person who can't read? First of all, if it's a man, he doesn't want to admit it, right? And so if you see a guy that you're going along with and he's kind of dazing out, he's embarrassed and he's not following along, and it comes out as other attitudes or other actions. So don't hesitate to say to a person you don't know, you don't think, do you have a struggle reading? Or is reading not your favorite thing? Say it in a way that's nice, and then you know to help them. And I would hope that Promise Keepers would have a box of audio tape somewhere about what is salvation and how to go on with God that basically has some of this information just read off on it. Is Gordon here? Do we have something like that? That'd be great. And just tell the counselors, if you got a guy like that, just walk over to the box and pick it up and hand him a tape, because that's what he needs. But once in a while that happens, and there are a lot of guys out there that have great families and have great jobs as perhaps carpenters or bricklayers, and they actually can bring in quite a bit of money for their family, but can't read or don't like to read. It's not that abnormal. Would you agree? Yeah. And we think the society we live in, that can't happen, but of course it can happen. One thing that Charlie went over with you was steps, and of course you went through it with him. If you have time, it's great to give your people 3 to 5 minutes, let them practice with each other. The same thing is true with my commitment folder. Before Charlie brought this little tool together, the hardest thing, of course, for the counselor was trying to figure out why in the world that person's come forward. And that one illustration about the young guy going back to Cincinnati, because the question we had was, basically, in a nutshell, why'd you come forward? And sometimes they couldn't answer that. And so this is a tremendous tool. And I remember, Charlie, in Albuquerque, when you counseled the 7 people, and 4 out of 7 who had said that everyone had said they were Christian, but 4 out of 7 with the questions when, if, why, did not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, we're not becoming judge and jury, and it is a little embarrassing to someone to have to deal with those questions, but better to deal with those questions and be a little embarrassed than go to hell if you don't know Jesus Christ. So tell me, when did you make a commitment to Christ? Well, in 1948, right after the war, I went forward in the Southern Baptist Church in Bogalusa, Louisiana. Now, does that tell you they know Jesus?
No.
Well, if you die tonight, would you go to heaven? Well, I hope so. Does that tell you they know Jesus? No. Well, if you were to stand before God and He were to say, "Why should I let you into heaven?" What would you say? Well, I've been a good man. You know where they are. So if during those questions, you're certain that they don't know Christ, you don't. See, you don't tell them, obviously, you're unsaved and going to hell. Don't say that. They don't know the procedure. So you just say, well, let's review the basic facts of the message and turn right back to the gospel on page 6, because it's the gospel that what? Saves, right? I'm not ashamed of God's dynamite, because it what? It saves. Yeah, so you just go over it. You might have to go over it twice. Mr. Riggs tells the story of a New York Yankees pitcher in one of the Crusades. They went all the way through this. Did you pray the prayer? Yes, I did. Did you mean it? No, I didn't. Well, what do you do then? Just say, well, let's go back over the gospel. So don't get stuck on something like that. Always go back to the gospel and go through it again. Did you pray it? Where is he right now? Well, I don't know. Well, go over it again, because he's got to be in the heart. It's an acceptance of Christ personally in our lives. Gordon England and I were talking about how men so often, and as they've analyzed, Promise Keepers ministry team has analyzed men so often, well, we came to the conclusion, and I agreed with Gordon, that all men feel guilty. and all men know they're sinners. And so they think coming to Christ is getting rid of the past and saying, I won't do that again. And they haven't come to grips with the fact that it's a relationship with Jesus Christ because, gentlemen, we all grew up performance-oriented. And therefore, I did bad, now I've got to do good. No. You want to know Christ. So we have to sometimes keep going over with the men because they're task-oriented, they're performance-oriented, they're goal-oriented, and they want to do better. Right? No. We want to be better. And the difference is Jesus living in us, dying to pride, and that's not good for a man to die to pride, he thinks. But the best death in the world is the death in Christ. So this little tool doesn't look like much, but gentlemen, it's been refined over now 17, 18, 20 years. This is the best thing we've got because this thing helps us go through with the man. And if a guy says, well, gee, I don't know why I came forward. I'm just inquiring. I'm not ready to make the commitment. It's even down there, number three. So it's divided very simply. If they say, I know I need Christ, that's number one. Don't go any farther than that, further than that. You've made it with them. But then number two is all about, I've accepted Christ, but where am I now? Acceptance, assurance, rededication, demonstrating my faith. I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, my very first crusade with Charlie, and I'm just walking at the same place he had the 4 out of 7. I'm walking across the floor with armload of living in Christ, carrying them supervisors, and this guy grabbed my arm and said, excuse me, are you a counselor? And I said, I can be. I took my badge out and put it on, and he said, well, my pastor's going to be blown away when he gets this form in the mail because I'm the senior deacon at my church, and I love Jesus Christ, and I have no idea why I've come down here except God just said, step out for me today. Now, that's demonstrating my faith. So I went through the whole thing with him, and he said, can we meet? So we had about 3 or 4 lunches, Charlie, in those 2 months that we stay after the crusade. And the reason God brought that guy down is I needed what he had in his life. He discipled me. He gave me some insights as a mature businessman and as a man of God, and it was really good for me. So I always assumed the Lord brought him down there to help me out. But you never know. And then other, I just have a special need. And we will have, and maybe Gordon, we could have a few doctors or psychologists. And we try to get one of them to be at the front of the platform right under the speaker and spread his specialists around. He's got a dossier there, a list of who's with him, what their expertise is. And if the counselor gets a man or woman that's another language, or they've got a drug abuse problem or a real homosexual problem, bring them to the front. Turn them over to the specialist and they can get a few counselors to help. And those particular counselors need to be committed to stick with these people beyond that night. So we're trying to cover all the bases. And this little tool is outstanding. And you want them to read it with you out loud. Don't just read it for them because you don't know. You're in the middle of a lot of people. It's amazing. It's amazing how two people can lock in and all the noise fades around them. Literally amazing. But if you've got a guy that's glancing off, pull him back by making him read it with you. Make him read it with you. Okay. I did ask Charlie to one time discuss this live exist thing. And I've talked to Mr. Graham about it. You know, evangelists always say you've got to live somewhere. You've got to live in hell or live in heaven. Can you live in hell? I don't think so. The Bible says that Jesus is life. Without Christ, there's no life. It's very difficult for my human mind to understand eternal life. But it's just as difficult to understand eternal death. And I'm convinced you don't live without God. I'm convinced you don't live in hell. Now, your soul might exist, but there's not, that life is defined as being with God. So, you know, you say to a guy, you're going to be somewhere after this planet. But you can only live forever with Christ. I don't understand eternal death. It's not annihilation. But you don't live without Christ. We've got to get this out of people's minds that they're living without Jesus. It's impossible after this physical life to spiritually live without God and without Christ. That's frightening, guys. And that's another reason we need to put the truth out there because it literally is frightening. Now, one of the things that's going to happen, of course, in Promise Keepers is either Gordon or Glenn Wagoner will be at the platform, at the microphone, and they'll be helping you counsel by doing kind of a generic counseling from the tools, to just briefly go over the tools with them, and they hope that they'll even be able to throw things like the sheets from my commitment on the Jumbotron so that people can follow along and everybody can see it. And they hope in a couple of years, International Bible Society has made a commitment to print a Promise Keepers Bible. And they hope to have witnessing information in the front of the Bible and follow-up information in the back, perhaps Charlie even putting the Living in Christ in the back, so that we got one tool, putting the My Commitment or a similar tool in the front. So what you walk down there with a new Christian is a Bible. And you give them a Bible. And then everybody in the stand sees the guidance on the Jumbotron and everybody's counsel. Maybe there's a guy or gal, a guy rather, it's Promise Keepers, who didn't come forward and should have. Everybody hears the counseling. Everybody sees the gospel. Everybody hears the steps. Then, once the Bible is produced, and IBS is working diligently on this Bible, not for this year, but for next year, then they can say to all the men there, as you leave at the book tables, we've got five of these Bibles shrink-wrapped in sets for $10. And you can leave and you can pick up a set, and everybody's just been trained how to use the Bible because they just saw it happening on the Jumbotron. But even this year, Gordon or Glenn or someone will take the portions of the tools that we need, stick them on the Jumbotron, so as you're out there, your people are seeing it huge, and everybody in the stands seeing it too, and everybody's getting the gospel. Is that right, Gordon? That's what we're working on, or they're working on right now. You'll also notice in the Bridge to Life, we're using the verses we memorize, which is also good, because we want people, when they leave the training, to know how to share their faith using a tool like a tract, any tract. Read through it, circle, underline, explain, answer questions, take them to the gospel. We want people to know how to use their Bible. If they don't have a tract but they've got their Bible, at least they've got six scripture that they can look up in context and share their faith. We want people, if they don't have a Bible and don't have a tract and all they've got is a piece of paper and a pencil, that they can draw out the bridge. If they don't have a Bible, don't have a tract, don't have a piece of paper and a pencil, at least they've got the six scriptures memorized. So we're trying to give our men a method of sharing their faith that's simple, so that regardless of the circumstances they're in, whether they're on a bass boat fishing at Lake of the Ozarks, you don't normally carry your Bible out there. And you don't normally stop fishing to take a piece of paper and a pencil. You don't normally have a tract unless you stop for a break and lunch and you've got one in your lunch bag or your back pocket. But you could sit there fishing and just tell what Jesus means to you and weave in six scripture. We just want to make our guys so comfortable with the gospel that they can share their faith regardless of the circumstance they're in. Right?
Amen.
Right. So that helps us as Promise Keepers too. One of my favorite scriptures is 1 Peter 3:15, Living Bible. Read it with me. Quietly trust yourself to Christ your Lord, and if anybody asks why you believe as you do, be ready to tell them, but do it in a gentle and a respectful way. Faith, I quietly trust you, God, for my witness. I don't feel guilty. I'm just ready every day, God. You use me. You put me in circumstances. Secondly, nobody's going to ask anything about me unless they see my life, right? Now, I realize that Promise Keepers, people are coming forward. They're just meeting us. But again, as I said last night, they can see our life. They can see our love, our sincerity right away, but in our daily life. But then again, of course, we've got to be verbal, because it's the gospel that saves. And I think these are the three elements of a witness. Your faith, quietly trusting Christ, your life is showing it, and your words are ready. Another scripture that, let's read it in the NIV together. But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. Another scripture is Philemon 1:6. Together. And I pray that as you share your faith with others, it will grip their lives too as they see the wealth of good things in you that come from Christ. Again, the life, and the words. And there's a balance. We can't emphasize one without the other. All right, and then, of course, I just wanted to reinforce the fact that we are literally using the scriptures we're memorizing in our lives as a part of our witness. And the only other thing I wanted to do, Charlie, I don't want to add another element, but I'd like to show you guys, it's one of these things I don't want to, but I am. I'd like to show you guys another bridge to life that is so simple, if you forget how to do the other one, you'll never forget this one because it just uses one verse, and it's one of the verses we memorize. And all you do is put, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, you know, if you've got about 5 minutes and that's all you've got, you've got a piece of paper and a pencil, you can do this. You can just say, "John, let me just write out one of the sentences in the Bible." I don't even use the word verse with secular people today. They don't even know what it is. I don't write the number down or the chapter till I get through so they can go back and look it up, because that blows them. They don't comprehend this stuff. So I just say, I like to write a sentence out from the Bible, God's Word. And then I just put in rectangles the important words. Wages of sin, death, the gift of God, eternal life. And if we're working with men, you don't have to remember all the generic stuff. We can use the word man. And there was God, walked and talked in the Garden of Eden. One day man disobeyed God. It broke that relationship, caused the chasm. And what happened was, wages, bring those rectangles down, of sin is death. Right across from it, exactly. Wages, gift. Of sin? No. Of God? Death? No. Eternal life. Because sin has caused the chasm between me and you. And notice in this verse, John, there's a big but. And there's a but. And the but means that what's on one side is different than what's on the other. Now, sin has separated us. Let me ask you a question. Do you work? Yes, I do. How often do you get paid? Every 2 weeks. Well, how'd you like to work all your life and receive the wage of death? Would you like that? I don't think so. Well, how would you like to get a gift and live forever? Oh, that'd be better. Well, what is a gift? What is a gift?
Free.
It's free. You didn't work for it. What else? It's desirable. Well, if you've got a gift, John, what do you have to do to utilize it? You got to accept it, receive it, take it. And then what have you got to do? Open it and use it. So, well, how do you do that? Well, the answer is right here. It's through Christ Jesus our Lord. So the Bible talks about a thing called the cross. A lot of people wear these and don't even know what they've got on them. Okay, so what the Bible is saying, John, is you can repent of your sins. That means turn from your sins. Receive Jesus. And believe that He's Lord and Savior of your life, and your life can be changed. Where are you right now? Like Charlie said, they mark on one side or the other. Well, I'm right here. Well, how would you like to be over here with God? What I'd like to be? Well, repent, receive, believe, and then it's Jesus in me or in you. Now, the reason I share that is because it's just, you can't forget it. You just can't forget it. It is that simple. And you can add the other verses, etc. It's not as good as the more complete bridge to life, but it's the only verse that I know of that you can share the whole gospel and draw it out with just one verse. So that's just an option. Any questions? Any questions? All right. Good. Time for lunch? Chuck, I'm sorry.
Really helps the speaker that's on the platform will say when he gets to presenting the good information that, you know, he'll give a lead-in.
Right.
Look around and find a guy with a counselor today. And that helps us with that lead-in. Other kind of awkward.
Okay. I didn't know how we paired because I hadn't had a chance to go, but
second thing,
Gordon's hearing this.
Same sex
names, that type of deal. Yeah. So the platform will say, please pair up with someone and try to get one some close to your age.
Yeah. Yeah. What was the follow-up question?
We'll go over that in the morning. Is it in the morning we do that?
No, it's this afternoon.
This afternoon. Okay, we'll go over procedures this afternoon. All right, any other questions? Time for lunch?